In many ways, friends, today's liturgy is an extension of last week, which means that the Lord is drawing particular attention to critically important aspects of the Christian life. That's why they're being stressed again. And just to make sure we get it, he does so today much more directly. We don't need much imagination to understand what Christ is communicating in the classic gospel episode of Martha and Mary, which we have today. And this passage in the biblical text immediately follows the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we had last week. So there's an extension, an extended teaching, we might say, from our Lord. Mary wants to do everything possible to be a good host for Jesus. But it doesn't seem like she was expecting him to drop in. So she anxiously scurries about doing many things and resents the fact that Mary is just sitting with Jesus, listening to him. She even gets so worked up that she actually demands that Jesus tell Mary to help her. There's obviously some jealousy at work here, but also some selfishness. Who is Martha focused on? Jesus or on Martha? And so the answer that she receives from our Lord is probably unexpected on her part. Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Ouch, right? Although Jesus certainly delivers this message in a gentle, tender way, this is one of his best friends. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were very dear friends of Jesus. And so he delivers it in a gentle way, but still the message is clear and it packs a punch. So it must have hurt a little bit, especially given that there's a little bit of sibling rivalry going on here, which would add to the hurt. But what is the message that Jesus is trying to communicate? What is this one need that he's talking about? Relationship with him. That's what he's talking about. That's what's most important than anything else in this life. No doubt Martha has good intentions behind her actions. She wants to please Jesus, right? But ultimately her actions are misguided since she isn't putting relationship with Jesus first. She's putting Martha first. In fact, as we heard, Martha is burdened with much serving. It didn't say Martha was just serving. She's burdened with much serving. Does following Christ feel like a burden to you? Coming to Mass? Oh, I come just because I'm supposed to, because I don't want the fires of hell to come knocking on my door, so I guess I'll come to Mass, you know. Or prayer in your prayer life? Oh, I guess I'll pray. I'm in dire straits. I need something, right? I guess I'll throw a few prayers out there, and hopefully Jesus will do something, right? Is it a burden to you to serve Jesus in these ways, to serve your brothers and sisters in the community? If so, then you probably need to focus on relationship with him. Because if you're in deep, intimate relationship with him, that's not going to be your experience. The more you fall in love with him, the more you are filled with peace and joy as you follow him and walk in the glorious freedom of the children of God. But that won't happen if you put service first. That's what Martha's doing. Again, good intentions, but poor results. And you've heard me say this a number of times, especially talking about the three-legged stool. If you put that social justice first, you're going to end up with only one leg on the stool. It's going to be quite a balancing act. Either that or you're going to be laying on the ground, right? Because then it inevitably becomes about you, become me, me, me. It's not about the Lord. It's not about others. If you put social justice first, then you will simply be doing things on your own and not in communion with him, not according to his will. And then your efforts won't bear holy fruit, and you will rob yourself of the gifts that come from living in intimate communion with Christ. He doesn't take them away. You're robbing yourself of them when you live this way. By contrast, today's first reading provides a positive example of service to God. Notice how Abraham reverences the Lord first. Both he and Martha welcome the Lord, But Abraham then reverences the Lord. Relationship, right? The Lord, he's engaging in a relationship. He does this before then offering his hospitality, and only after receiving affirmation from the Lord does he then scurry off to go gather things and prepare the meal. That's the service aspect. But notice relationship comes first. Service flows from that. The difference is somewhat subtle between Abraham and Martha at a quick glance, but this little bit closer look reveals that Abraham definitely has his priorities in right order. The example in today's second reading is anything but subtle. No doubt St. Paul understands what it means to live in Christ, and he also understands the fruits that come from living this way. "I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake," he declares, "and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church." Now, this is quite a statement, to say the least. Notice that Paul isn't rejoicing in comfort, but in sufferings. And why? What's wrong with this guy? What's going on here? Because Christ is giving Paul the opportunity to participate in the redemption and salvation of the whole world by sharing in Christ's suffering, in the cross, in his passion, death, and the resurrection that flows from that. But the cross always comes first, and Paul knows that, knows it very well. As we see, he also knows that that this suffering will bring to completion for you. He's not talking about for himself, for you, the Word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past that has now been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery. That's also a pretty action-packed statement. What exactly is Paul talking about here, this mystery, this the glory of this mystery, to use his very own words? It is Christ in you. It is Christ in you. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's getting excited about. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. That's the mystery that's now been revealed, that was hidden for all those ages. Paul has spent much, much time at the feet of Christ, choosing the better part, and now has a very clear understanding that life in Christ bears its fruit only through suffering on behalf of others, Christ's body, which then further builds up the body with the ultimate goal of presenting everyone. Notice Paul says everyone perfect in Christ to God the Father. Ultimately, this happens in heaven, but we work for it while we're here on earth. And now this is the service piece. So notice this deep relationship that Paul has with Christ. The service flows from it. And it's a beautiful Eucharistic vision that he's giving us here, bringing all people together in the Lord to present them to God the Father. That's building up the body of Christ. That's a very Eucharistic image. Also notice that Paul doesn't experience this suffering, this process that he's going through, as a burden at all. He's not complaining about it. He's rejoicing. He rejoices in these sufferings because he knows what's going on. It's Christ that's operating in him. And he wants us to rejoice in that too. Okay, as we can see clearly now, prayer is not wasted time. It's not a burden. That's what today's society may suggest, right? It's not productive. We don't have any tangible things that we can show for it. And so it's just a waste. Not at all. Not at all. Sitting at the feet of Jesus is essential. It's primary. Before everything else. It is marvelously productive and fruitful. Not always in these tangible ways that our world demands, but it is marvelously productive and fruitful. A portal to relationship with the Son of God that leads to the peace and joy beyond all understanding and to true freedom. On the other hand, without prayer and relationship with the Lord, and this is most people today, life inevitably becomes a burden. And serving Jesus becomes a chore at best, if people even decide to do that, to even believe in Jesus. It's a chore at best. That's not a healthy way to live. But when God is your primary preoccupation, the one thing necessary in your life, the very center of your life, then everything else falls into place. You won't get caught up in yourself and the many things in life and then controlled by anxiety and worry. So friends, I encourage you, choose the better part. Choose Christ above everything else. Be not afraid to take up your share of the cross with Christ on behalf of his body. That's the best way to live. Your salvation and the salvation of the whole world actually depends on it. And that's where you're going to find true joy. That's when you're going to realize the true dignity of who you are, who you were created to be, your dignity especially as a Christian. That's where true meaning in your life is going to flow from. Therefore, I encourage you, think deeply about this, pray deeply about this, and please, brothers and sisters, choose very well.